Thank you, Jim. I'm Toraya. I'm an addict alcoholic. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for asking me to share. It's been a while that I did a main share, and I was like hesitating, but I just told myself, just do it. I just gonna start where I come from, and you will see where we go. So I'm Turaya. I'm an addict alcoholic. I'm 42, mother of two. My father is a Tunisian, Arabic Muslim. My mom is Catholic, a Belgian woman. I grew up in a very, very dysfunctional family. I have three brothers. My father was an addict, an alcoholic, a gambling addict, sex addict, violent. I used to call him and still call him the devil himself. He was ugly, in every way. My mom was very codependent, very terrified, overprotective woman. Who did her best to keep us safe. And it wasn't easy for her. I can see that now, but when I was in the middle, I had resentments against her because she stayed with my father for 26 years, and it was hell. And every time it was getting out of hand and escalated. At the early age, I came in between and I wanted to protect my mom. And I took the beating, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't regret that. The only thing that I struggled with was that she didn't took action. But after, at the age of 17, she explained me why she didn't do that. She didn't divorce him earlier because she was scared that he would take us to Tunisia and we would never come back to Belgium because it happened to other people she knew. So she wanted to wait until we were on adults in a way, like with the paperwork and stuff, because we had double nationalities. So when we are in Tunisia, we were Tunisian and there. It's the regime, like the father has the power if you leave the country or not. So, in the meantime, my childhood was not okay. At the age of seven, I've been abused sexually by my cousin from my father's side of the family. He was a Tunisian guy. A family member. He was 10 years older than me. And that kept on for 3 years. So my perception about sex and intimacy was already damaged, different than other people. And that secret, I kept it until the age of 36. Thanks to my father, I learned from early age to pretend that everything was okay, to lie, to manipulate, to steal, to go even never think about the consequences if I wanted something. And against him too, I was rebelling because I saw my cousins, the female ones, getting married with Tunisian family members because their father pushed that on them and they didn't say no. They weren't allowed to say no. And something inside of me was rebelling against this. Because this was not okay. And my father, in a way, wanted to do the same thing to me. And I was like in a fight modus. as a teenager, like, this will never happen to me. And I find ways to survive, like just focus on studying, just keep on going, started working at early age to get money, saving money to focus on a solution to help my mom to divorce one day. And at the age of 17, I gave her all my savings and told her, "Mom, it's him or me." And then my oldest brother took the action to go to a lawyer with my mom. And then the divorce was started. And with that, my father has a restraining order for me and my mom. He can't come near me. He will never be able to meet my kids ever. During my high school time, I was the good girl. I was a good student. I helped a lot of people. I was a people pleaser. I took care of everybody except myself. And at the age of 17, I discovered alcohol and drugs and party. And I loved it. I really loved it. I was like, this is the solution to feel good, to just forget about all the shit that happened earlier. At the age of 14, I met a guy that promised me that I would become a model. And, you know, like, teenage girls can be so naive. I was one of them. And that guy raped me, but paid me, gave me work, not in prostitution. I was more like on big events, high level stuff. So I met a lot of business guys and CEOs and whatever. But I at that time, I didn't see it as rape, because I wanted to get out of the shitty life I was in at home. And it was like an escape. It was like somebody made me feel better, had more attention for me, gave me gifts, money, et cetera, et cetera. So, but it was actually really not okay. And all the abuse I had during my life, I kept it inside. And still today, there are things that I don't remember, or they show up in my dreams or nightmares. And it's scary, because sometimes I think, oh my goodness, there's so much that I kept inside that I just kept hidden, and it needs to come out to heal and to be able to move on. I had five, how do you call that, bad relationships where I choose to be involved with, and I choose to be intimate with, but on the intimacy level and sex level, I was damaged and disgusted, and I hated having sex. And because of that, I needed alcohol and drugs to do that. At the age of 21, I met my ex-partner, with whom I had a toxic relationship for 20 years, with whom I have two beautiful kids. And the first 10 years were like a fairy tale, I thought. I went to beautiful places, beautiful hotels. I was spoiled like a little princess. But I wasn't me. I did everything he asked me. And if I didn't, he drugged me, manipulated me, raped me. He took me to sex parties. He's a narcissistic asshole. But I was in love and I didn't see that. And at the same time, everything that happened, I started using in secret and I couldn't stop anymore. And then I became a mom in my 30s, 32, 33. And then I broke down by everything that I carried around, about the hidden secrets, the abuse, the rape, came up because I had a child and I was scared to death that I wasn't good enough to be able to protect her for this just fucked up world. That's how I saw it, and I sometimes still see it. And every trauma came back and I started using again, more and more, didn't take care of myself. And then a year later, I had my little boy and I was still trying to do my best. I always took care of them, but not of me. And something inside of me was like, my partner, his life, he just kept on doing what he was doing. And I felt like my freedom was taken away. And I was me against the world with two kids, not knowing how to do that. And sometimes I still feel like a failure and I have a lot of shame. But I only tried my best. I know that today, but it's still seeing that my kids are having therapy now because they too are damaged because of their father, because of me. But I'm not gonna beat myself up for that. I'm human. I carry a lot of shit and trauma, and I just try to be better today and be a mom. Because first, I hated to be a mom because I didn't know how to do that. And I still used. It's only at the age of 40 that I was just a shadow of who I ever was. And my mom and Chris, my ex, sent me to South Africa. I did some rehabs, detox before, just for 8 weeks, for 6 weeks. And it was just about being detoxed. And I knew from the day one that I would use again when I left there. And in South Africa, something changed. The day I arrived, they took me to an AA meeting. And I was like, what the hell is this? But it was the best thing that could happen to me. I stayed there for, it was in 2019. I stayed there for 4 months and a half. And I wanted to stay because we just started trauma debrief. And then there was COVID and lockdown. And they made me choose if I would stay there or go back. If I stayed, I would be staying for a year, but I couldn't do that to my kids. So I came back and there was lockdown and everything was on Zoom. And I'm really grateful for Zoom. And I found secular, thanks to my peers from rehab who set up also a meeting online. It was called IPAN, as I don't know if it's still on. And because of attending them, I was introduced to Tasnua, and I love Tasnua. I learned so much, and I just can be me. I don't have to pretend. I just can come in just how I am, showered or not showered, crying, happy, angry, whatever. I just can be me. I still don't know who I am, but I just can be in the moment and share what's happening. And this is really helpful. I had a couple of relapses because I wasn't fully honest with myself, because I was still struggling with things to let go. I left my partner last year. I moved out because I realized we don't match. And I left everything behind, the luxury, the comfort, the money, everything. He's still helping out on a couple of things, a lot of things actually, but I'm like, I deserve this. But that's I lost my thought of train, my train of thought. This last year has been very helpful. I had a lot of struggles along the way too. I know today that my only true friends are the friends in recovery, the friends that I cannot hug because you're all on my screen. And before my last relapse, I had two best friends. Also, I thought they were my best friends who lived not so far from me. And suddenly they disappear. And I start feeling really lonely. I like to be alone, but I don't like to be lonely. And I ran back to my ex because that was the only solution I thought I had. How crazy was that? We spent a lot of time this summer together. He's also an addict, and an alcoholic and a sex addict and whatever. And I relapsed 60 days ago. And my comeback was the hardest thing to do. I wanted to end my life. I didn't see the solution anymore. My head was telling me, just end it. You had enough of this shit, of abuse, of pain. And my head was making, how do you call that? Scenarios in my head that I wanted to make it look like an accident, that my kids wouldn't have to face the thing that their mom killed herself. And then my head went like, I can take them with me, so nobody have to look after them and whatever and whatever. And I kept these thoughts inside of me for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then a fella called me and asked me, Soraya, what's going on? And I started to share and talk to her. And find some courage to just come back. And the first 3 weeks were one of the hardest things I did. And I stayed in the rooms. Sometimes I shared, sometimes I just cried the whole meeting. Some days I stayed online for 8 hours just to keep myself safe. Some days I just locked myself inside of my flat because sometimes I'm scared of myself. And because of you guys, because the love, the unconditional love I found, also for my kids in a way, and I had a little voice inside of me that said, just don't give up, because I'm not a quitter. With all the things I have been through. People telling me, you are strong, you are brave, but it just couldn't sink in anymore. Maybe I was stubborn. I just didn't want to hear about it. You know, I was in a state that when they say this too shall pass, I wanted to kill that person who said it. But anyway, I pushed through and something shifted 4 weeks ago. And I put my recovery first again. I try to share in every meeting. I connect. I do started writing again. I have a daily routine. I get up, I do my meditation, I pray, I write, I do my workout. I shared my readings with my rehab fellows, still on a daily basis, and to other groups through WhatsApp. I start my day with recovery. And I do a lot of self-reflection. I do a lot of self-reflection. And the thing I try today is to be kind and to nurture myself, because I need that. I always have been my most, my criticus. I beating myself up, being hard on myself, demanding things on myself, pushing myself down. And I'm trying to be more kind to myself, but it's not easy. I'm a work in progress. I am human. I still make mistakes, and I will do make more. I'm a member of a lot of different meetings. I like diversity, like CODA, AA, NA, traditional free thinkers, BIPOC, women meetings, CA. Today I'm like obsessed with improving myself, obsessed with meetings. That's my new addiction, I think, but it's a good one. And I know I need connection. I need to share whatever is going on inside of me just to be able to get through the day. I still struggle when I look in the mirror and, you know, someone gave me the advice to try. Look in the mirror and say, I am good enough and I can't. But I try. I try to walk the talk. Because something's different. I want to be free. I started also trauma therapy recently. I feel I'm ready, but it's also scary. But I asked advice and help to women who've been there and who get out of it and who are still here sober and clean and who did it sober and clean. So you guys, you give me hope that it will get better. And I have good days. I have good days. But it's life on life terms. It's not okay. It's not easy. It's not easy. And parenting and recovery. And then I need to find a job. And I need to work on myself. And I want to get this over with. I want to go through the trauma therapy as fast as I can, but I know I cannot do this. I need to take it slow. But that's a part of me that I want to rush things, but rushing things will not help me. I had a really busy week. And Yesterday, I had to face my ex. He working. He asked me to get the kids from school and stuff. It's his week. We do week. And he was looking for trouble, and he just had it. So we had a dispute. It escalated. My kids were so terrified, and I just took them with me. Olivia was in so scared of him. And they already told me that he was very demanding and not nice to them the 2 days before. And my heart breaks. So when I saw him coming into the door, I just asked him nicely, "Did you drink?" And he attacked me. And I said, "No." My mother instinct said, "You don't leave your kids there." I know how they felt because I know how it feels to be scared. When my father came in the door, we were hiding in the closet because we didn't know how he would act, and it was always in an ugly way. So I took my kids with me, but I had to drop them off again today. And my heart broke. I told him that I hope he will stay sober and clean today and try to be a dad for for his kids, because they're scared of him. And that's not okay. I've been scared of my dad. And that's not okay. That's not what family is about. Parents should be the people you go to and trust, and you feel safe. But anyway, I will check on them tomorrow. But it's hard just to let go and to do the right thing. I want to keep them with me, but I'm not the kind of woman who's a full-time mom. I can't cope with that either. So it's not easy, but and they need a dad too, and he's not always like that. But because of that, I was so emotionally drained this last night. My head wanted to drink, and I need to say it. My head said, "Just have a drink and everything will be easier." I didn't, because I was like, I'm not going to give up on myself. Not going back to that, because I know my ex wants to get me to the point that I lose it, because that's what he did always, and that's what he does and will do. I just needed to get that out too. But today, I have hope. I'm beyond grateful for this group. I'm learning so much. I'm trying to believe in myself a little bit more, one day at a time. And yeah, I think that's all I have for today. So thank you so much, everybody, for being here. I love you all so much.